أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، ملك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الفاتح لما أغلق والخاتم لما سبق، ناصر الحق بالحق والهادي إلى صراطك المستقيم، وعلى آله حق قدره وامتداد العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My beloved brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today is Thursday 18th of Zulqada, 1441 after Hijrah, equivalent to 9 of July 2020. Our lesson, inshallah, will continue from where we stopped. Last week, if you could remember, we are talking about the condition for Salah, where we mentioned like six of them, that you have to perform, purify yourself from ritual impurity, and also from any impure substance that might touch your clothes, the place of Salah, or touch your skin or body. And he stated that also we have to cover our nakedness, and also he added that we have to face the Qibla. And in covering our nakedness, trying to state or specify the places or the part in which we have to cover for our salah to be accepted, he said, for a man, he has to cover from what is in between his navel to his knee. You understand? While a woman has to cover all her body except her face and her palm should be exposed, but all other places should be covered, because herself as a whole is considered privacy. So inshallah, we'll continue from there. He said, وَتُكْرَهُ سَلَاتِ فِي السَّرَاوِيلِ, and it is not allowed to perform salah in a trouser, in only a trouser, because this is in respect to the men, because he said you have to cover between what is in between your navel to your knee. Someone might have a big trouser, draw it up to his navel, then covering his knee, then he will just say his salat. So it is not allowed. Although tukrah does not mean it is not prepared for you. It is not wanted. It is not wanted for you to do that. But when you do, the salat is correct. So tukrah is just that, something that is not like, yes, something that is not like, it is not liked for you to perform salah in only a trouser. Illa idha kana fawqahu shay'un, except if there is something on top of it, even if it is a singlet, so you can, or even if it is a small wrapper that you just put on top of your shoulders, then you can, it is preferred that way, but not just a single, because you can also tie wrapper up to your navel, covering your knee, and perform salah, but even that one, it is not liked for you to do that, except if there is something on top of it, that is, you are having like something, a shirt, you understand. Then he continued by saying, وَمَنْ تَنَجَّسَ صَوْبَهُ, whoever's clothes becomes impure, وَلَمْ يَجِدْ صَوْبًا غَيْرَهُ, and he does not has another clothes except that one, that is the only clothes that you are having, and now it is impure, maybe it has been urinated on, or you have touched blood, or something like that, any impurity that might touch you that will render the clothes impure, And that is the only clothes you are having. Walam yajid ma an yaksuluhu, or you did not have water for you to wash it. You have no water to wash that particular clothes. Aw lam yakun indahu ma yalbisa hatta yaghsilahu, or you don't have another cloth that you will wear in order to wash this one. This one has become impure, and you don't have another cloth that you will wear to wash this one. That is the only cloth you are having. So what should you do? Wa khafa khuruj alwaqti, and you fears that the time will be over, the time for salah will be over. You are afraid that the time for salah will be over and you don't have any option. What should you do? Salla bi najasatihi, you should pray with the impurity. You should pray with the impure clothes. Pray like that. So you have to pray like that. Like you all know, when we treated dry ablution, I said that yes, some in this kind of case you can just perform your taymama, because taymama tarfa'ul hadath. The taymama has taken off the impurity. So with the taymama, you can even the impurity that is from your body, you understand, ritual impurity, like even the state of major impurity, which is janaba. Taymama has the power to take it off for you to just perform, to be allowed to perform that salah. So in that kind of case, you can perform your ablution, then perform your salah with the impure clothes. وَلَا يَهِلُّ تَأْخِيرُ الصَّلَاةِ لِعَدَمِ الطَّهَارَةِ, he said it is not permitted for one to delay his salah because of impurity. Just because you don't have water to wash the clothes, or you don't have another clothes to change, you don't have any reason, you are not permitted to delay your salah just because of that. Then you have to pray like that, you understand. Then he said, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلِ ذَلِكَ فَقَدْ أَسَى رَبَّهُ, whoever does that, whoever delays his prayer just because his clothes is dirty or because his clothes is impure, he delays his salah until the muqtar has expired. So faqad asa rabbahu, he has committed a great sin before his Lord. He has disobeyed his Lord. Wa man lam yajid ma yasturu bihi awratuhu, whoever does not have what to cover his privacy with. Salla uryanan, he should pray naked. You don't have even, so this one is level 2. The first one is you are having the cloth, but that is the only cloth you are having and is impure. So then comes another person who does not even have anything to cover himself. Not, you know, some people might imagine, how could this be? Yes, it is possible. Then during the time of the Salaf, the scholars, then what they do, some will just sit down and start imagining all kind of problem that someone will face. Then they will prefer solution to it. So it can happen. This someone can be in a state that he doesn't even have a single cloth. He is naked. Like for instance, you go on hunting, or you go on recreational activities like that. You go on hunting not for meat, but like hunting for like a sport, or you go for recreation, you understand, or forest, this thing. Then you off your clothes, when you go into a water, you are swimming together with your colleagues. Then comes wildfire burn all your clothes, then unknowingly to you. So how can you do? Then you have, even if when it's time for salah, you have to say your salah naked. Or for instance, there is your clothes is at the bank of the river, you understand, But there is a harmful animal, a wild animal, which every one of you is afraid of. Then you have to swim down to move away from it. Maybe because the river is very long, then you ha maybe you just what the option left for you is to swim down to a very far distance away from that wild animal before you come out. So after you are safe from that particular animal, then comes time for Salah. What will you do? Then you have to pray naked. But in that kind of situation, if you are many and you will perform congregational prayer, then all of you have to be in the same on the same line. You understand? Imam will not go, will not move forward. All together with the Imam, everybody has to be in a single line. Even if there is a woman or a lady, but what will even take a lady there? But even if there will be a lady, she has to be in the same line, but she will not join shoulder or feet with you, but she will go away at left hand side or right hand side, but no one should stay behind. Why? Because whoever look at other privacy has violated his salah. Because he will be distracted and he might laugh. You understand, by such action. So once you do that, your salah is violated. So that's why you have to be, all of you will be in the same line and perform your salah. So when he said, so in this is just an instance I'm giving. So whatever condition that might make you not to have anything to cover your privacy, then you can continue praying naked. وَمَنْ أَخْطَأَ الْقِبْلَةَ أَعَادَ فِي الْوَقْتِ. Whoever misses the direction of Qibla should repeat that prayer on time. Maybe you came to a new environment and you don't know where the Qibla is. Then you just think of where your mind has given you. Then you just perform your salah. Then maybe later on, maybe you did that during Salatul Zuhur. Then during Asr, come a family, a people who are familiar with the environment. Then you observe that they face a direction different from the one you've faced. So in that case, you don't have to repay the salah. But if there is time, then you have to say the prayer, because why should you not pray payback is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says aynama tuwallu fathamma wajhullah, aynama tuwallu fathamma wajhullah. And also, why should you pay? Because Allah says fawalli wajhaka shatr al masjid al haram. You should face the direction of Qibla while you are praying. While the other time he said, whatsoever place you face, you should perform your salah. So that's it. Just what you should take note of. If there is time, you should repay back the salah. If there is no time, if the time has, most especially the Muqtar, the best time, the prior time, once it has elapsed, then you don't have to repay back the salah. Then he said, وَكُلُّ إِعَادَةٍ فِي الْوَقْتِ فَهِيَ فَضِيلَةٌ. All replacement on time is recommendable. So anything that you hear that they say you should repay, or you should replace that particular salah, it is fadila, it is a recommendation. If you did not repay, there is no harm, but it is fadila, it is very recommended for you to do that. But when you did not do, then there is no harm. So, but what you understand, most at time when you are reading fiqh sharia, you'll be hearing instruction like this. A'ada fil waqati, or a'ada. So whenever he said a'ada في الوقت, that means you have to pay on time. Once the time has elapses, then you don't have to pay. But when he said aada abadan, aada abadan, so that one you have to pay that salah forever. You have to pay it, because it was reported sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that miss salah or salah that are not complete, nothing can replace them except that salah. So you, because you refuse to perform asr, for instance, and now it's time for maghrib, or then you just say, let me say istighfar for that asr that I did not do, and that's all. So Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that hadith is saying nothing can replace that particular salah except you repay the salah. So that's the case. So this is just a law he's giving us, and we should understand that all repayment is on time and is recommendation, is a recommendable something. Wa kullu ma tu'adu minhu salatu fil waqati, all salah that you are to pay, you should do that on time. Fala tu'adu minhu al fa'itatu wan nafilatu, then you don't pay a salah that you have completely missed, or a nafila that you have missed. Once you miss, like for instance, maybe before the attaining of the puberty age, all the salah you've missed at that particular time, you are not to pay them. Or before you accept Islam, all the salah that you have missed at that particular period, you are not to pay them. That is fa'ita. It has already go away. You have already missed that particular salah, but you are of age and you are sensible enough, you are mentally okay, then whatever salah you've missed, you have to pay them. Because if we go into, he will tell us that, for instance, for someone that has many salah, you have like for instance, you have 1 month salah, so you are even confused, or more than that, or a year, then they say you have to pay them. So how will you pay them? He will tell you that salah adadama yabqa ma'ahu shakkun, you should pray, you should continue praying until you reach an amount that will be satisfying to you. You will say, yes, now I am certainly, yes, now I'm very sure that I have reached that particular amount. Until you are satisfied yourself, but you will continue. Maybe you will say, some will say you will perform more than 1,000 rak'at until you are satisfied yourself that you are satisfied. So this is the end of that particular chapter that we started last week. Today we'll go into another chapter, which is Faslun Fara'idu Salah. This particular chapter will tell us on the obligatory steps of Salah. Obligatory steps of Salah. After knowing the timing of Salah, after knowing also the condition for Salah, then let's know how is the steps. We should know by now that all these acts, Salah, Wudu, Ghusl and all that, they have compulsory steps, they have Sunnah steps, and they have recommended steps. So now we'll take the compulsory steps. He said, "An-niyatu salati al-mu'ayyana," intention of a particular salah. That is the particular salah that you are about to do. Like for instance, you want to do Isha, so the niyyah for Isha should be is compulsory, because innamal a'malu bin niyyati. And this is where although he will tell us at the end, that if you want to verbalize the niyyah, there is no harm in doing that. But an-niyyatu al-muhalluha qalb, the heart or the mind is the place for New Year. Just have it in your mind that you want to discharge. You don't have to say it, but when you say it, there is no harm. I hope we get this. So if you miss, for instance, maybe you are intending to say Salatul Maghrib, for instance, that's your intention, but mistakenly your mouth say Isha, so in that case it is not the one that you verbalize or the one that you say out. It is the what you intended in mind that will be judged, and your niya is correct. Then continuation, he said, wa takbiratul ihram, and the first takbir, takbiratul ihram, that ihram, that is forbidden, the takbira, the kabbara, that forbids you from all other acts, ay takbiratul ihram. It is from that, after saying your ikama, you understand, after saying your ikama, you can still talk, you can tell people to correct their sahu, you understand, you can tell someone to, you can instruct someone, you can even talk, but once the imam say Allahu Akbar, and also you as the follower say Allahu Akbar, that first rak'ah, it has forbidden you, that is the ihram, forbidden. It has banned you, it has forbidden you from all other acts except the act of salah. You are not allowed to talk after that takbir, you are not allowed to touch or carry or do other things that are not salah oriented. Wal qiyamu laha, and standing for it, you have to do it while standing, because Allah say waqumu lillahi qanitin. Aqimi salata waqumu, that particular waqumu, so you have to stand. So standing and saying it while standing is compulsory, except if there is anything that will stop you from that. Maybe you are ill or other things like that, or disabled. Wal Fatiha to, and recitation of Suratul Fatiha. Wal Qiyamula, and standing for saying it. You have to stand while saying the Fatiha. Wal Ruku'u, and bowing for Ruku. You have to bow. Wal Raf'u minhu, and raising from Ruku. Wal Sujudu ala al-Jabahati, then prostrating for sujud on the forehead. So when you want to do your sujud, you should do it on your forehead. He just said forehead because there are like seven organs that have to touch the ground. You have to put them flat on the ground while you are saying sujud. He will mention others. And if he don't, I think maybe after we've taken the compulsory and the sunnah as well as the recommended aspect of salah, I will take the brief explanation of the whole act of salah so that we'll get it more. So wa raf'u minhu, are raising from sujood, is also compulsory. Wal i'tidalu, then strengthening one's part. What does this mean? I'tidalu, you have to maintaining a known position for each salah. Like for instance, you have to maintain standing in the time for standing. Like while you are performing the takbiratul ihram, you should not be bending. No, you should maintain a standing position, because it's that is the known position for you at that particular period. When you are bowing for ruku, you should bow, and when you bow, you should maintain that particular position, so that a person passing by or someone that might view you from a distance will know that yes, you are in a state of ruku. You not like some people used to do, they'll just bend and rise immediately. No, you have to maintain that ruku position for a time so that you'll be able to praise Allah at that particular point in time. Subhana Rabbiyal Azim wa bihamdihi. Subhana Rabbiyal Azim wa bihamdihi. Because you are not allowed to bend your head at that particular period. No, you should raise it up. No, but you should be looking at the place your forehead will touch while during your sujood. And also, you should make your back flat in a state where should be in a way where a plate can be placed and it will stand. Because if you did not bend, if you bend your head too far, too much, the plate will roll down. So also, if you stand, if you stand hilly like that, like this, or slopy, you understand? If you are not, if you did not make your back to be flat, the plate will come back. So you have to maintain a position and also make, put your hand on your knee and bend them back, push them backwards, then put your hand on your knee and straighten your back completely. So that's what you should do. So doing this is the i'tidal. You are maintaining a particular position, then you, before you move to the next act, you understand? Then what do I need here to? Calmness, attentiveness. You have to pay attention to what you are doing. Pay attention, not that that's the man here. You have to pay attention to what you are doing. What tartibu bayna al-fara'idi, and cessation of obligatory act of the prayer. Following them step by step. You have to say your niyyah before takbiratul ihram, or you join them as you intended, and you stand up, then you say Allahu Akbar while you are standing. Then you say the Fatiha. He did not say surah because we are talking about the obligatory act. Say your surah, then go for ruku, then come back. You have to arrange them one after the other. That is tartib bayna al-fara'id. You have to arrange them one after the other. You cannot do sujood before ruku. Neither can you do ruku before qiyam wa qira'at al-fatiha. Hope we understand that. Then wassalamu. Then saying salam, assalamu alaikum, after this thing is also compulsory. Wajlusil lazi yuqarinuhu, and the sitting in which it is said, that is this, the sitting in which you say the salam is also compulsory. The sitting in which you say the salam is also considered compulsory. The sitting in which you say the salah is also compulsory. So while you sit, you know, you say the tahiyya. The tahiyya is not farilla. But as you are sitting, after you finish your tahiyya and all your dua that you wish to say, that while in that sitting position, as you turn to your right and say assalamu alaikum, so that sitting is compulsory. And the salama also is compulsory. Just know that whatever, as I think Ta'alim is saying, that whatever is compulsory, whatever will help to achieve something that is compulsory, is also considered compulsory. Like I said earlier, wudu, ablution, helps you to give out your salah, which is compulsory. So since you cannot perform salah without ablution, then ablution is considered also compulsory. Since you cannot perform ablution without purifying yourself from all impurity, then purifying yourself from impurity has become compulsory. So like that, since you cannot say salam while standing or while bowing, you have to sit. So the sitting to say that particular salam is also compulsory. So this is where we stop, but I want to read a particular hadith where Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, miftahu salah at-tuhur. The key to salah is purification. So purification is the key to salah. We should know this. Purification is the key to salah. Wa tahrimuha at-takbir. The ban or prohibition of salah. The prohibition of salah is the takbir, the first takbir, at takbir. You understand? Allahu Akbar. That is the prohibition. In this, it means that it prohibits you from all other acts. It is when until you say that takbir before all other acts is prohibited from you. Watahaliluha as-salam. Watahaliluha as-salam. Then what permits you to do other things is the salam. Unless you say the salam, you are not allowed to continue with other acts. And also, a very long hadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have described all these acts, where he said, "Iza qumta li salati fa asbigil wudu'a, summa istiqbalil qiblata, fakabbir, summa qara' ma tayassara ma'aka min al-Qur'ani, wa fi riwayat Abi Dawuda, summa qara' bi ummi al-kitab. Wa bima sha'a Allahu summa rka' حتى تطمئن راكئا ثم ارفع حتى تطمئن قائما ثم اسجد حتى تطمئن ساجدا ثم ارفع حتى تطمئن جالسا ثم افعل ذلك في صلاتك كلها فإذا فعلت ذلك فقد تمت صلاتك وإن انقصت منها فإن من تقصت من صلاتك." So this has summarized all what we've said. When you want to perform your salah, first begin with du'a, you should renew your ablution. So mustaqbal qiblata, then you should face the qibla. Fakabbir, then you should say the kabbara, that is the takbirat al-ihram. So fa'iza qumta lis salah, that is where the niyyah has come. You understand? When you wish to say your salah. So niyyah has come here. Even as you wish to perform your ablution. Why do you want to perform the ablution? Because you've intended to say salah. So niyyah has come there. Then here, what takbir, fakabbir, then you should say the kabbara al-ihram. That is the kabbara katakbirat al-ihram. Summa qra' ma tayassara ma'aka min al-Qur'an. And you should do that while standing. And summa qara', then you should recite whatever you know from the Quran. In another relation from Abu Dawuda, he said, "Summa qara bi ummi al-Quran." Then you should recite the ummi al-Quran, which is Fatiha. Wa bima sha'a. Then after the ummi al-Kitab, then you should recite whatever you understand, even if it is one or two verses from the Holy Quran. Then summa ruku'. After you finish, then you should do ruku. That is why we understand that from here we understand that all those acts before this, we do it while standing, because here he said summa ruku', then we should bow to do ruku'. Summa tatma'inna hatta tatma'inna raki'a, until you maintain that position in the bowing, not just bow and come out and stand up immediately. When a very close person, a person close to you, is asked, "What have you done?" he will not be able to say what you've done. But when you maintain a position in which, yes, someone will say, even if he can, if he don't know that is ruku, because he's the unbeliever or someone that does not know what salah is, then he will explain that, "Yes, I've seen you in a particular position. So you had tatat ma'inna, until you are calm in that particular position." Then summa rfa', then you should stand up. So waraf uminhu, also fardun. Then you should raise from that particular position. Hatta tatma'inna qa'iman, until you maintain the standing position. Not immediately. Some you will see them after they've done ruku, they will not stand up. From that ruku, they will just prostrate for sujood. That's not correct. You have to stand up, because standing up also is compulsory, is obligatory, is fard. Then after you've stood up, then you prostrate for sujood. Hatta tatma'inna sajidan, until you maintain that position bowing. Summa rfa', then you should rise. Hatta tatma'inna jalisan, then you should maintain sitting position. Summa rfa', summa f'al dhalika fi salatika, then you should perform this particular description in all your salah, then your salah is considered complete. So this is where we stop. We have studied the obligatory steps of salah. Inshallah, when we meet next, we will discuss the sunnah aspects as well as the obligatory aspect and other explanation that follows. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdi. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Subhan rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al mursalin. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.